Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porther with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch. Got a lot still to come today here on the show. Talking Titans, Scott Pioli joins us at 8 o'clock from the NFL Network. We'll look ahead to the draft coming up with him. Our weekly visit at 8:45 with Predators centerman Matt Duchene. Looking forward to that conversation with him. At 9:30, Adam Vingan from The Athletic drops by. We'll get into the latest with the Nashville Predators with him as well. So lots still to come today here on the show. And as always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we spent a lot of the show yesterday discussing the defensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans, and we're going to do that a lot more today as well here regarding Shane Bowen and Mike Vrabel and the pressure that they face heading into this upcoming season. But some news yesterday as well regarding a former Titans defensive coordinator in Jim Schwartz that apparently, according to multiple reports, is going to be back with the Titans in some capacity. Now, last night, Paul Kaharsky did report that Jim Schwartz is doing work for the Titans, but right now he is not a traditional assistant. Sources, quote from Paul Kaharsky, sources tell me that for right now it amounts to a consultant job that may entail a few days a week. Its final shape has not yet been determined, though Schwartz may have been at work for several weeks already. So whatever the official capacity is, it seems like Jim Schwartz is back in the fold here with the Titans in some capacity. And it's interesting because, this time a couple of months ago, Jim Schwartz was stepping away from the coaching profession, and we thought that that was going to be it and that he was going to retire and that was going to be the end of his time in the NFL for Jim Schwartz. That lasted about 2 months and apparently back in some capacity with the Titans. What do you think of this?
So you're going to quote Kaharsky without asking me what I got?
What do you have?
I got confirmation that that Jim Schwartz. I mean, you didn't even ask me.
Well, you weren't sitting down.
Well,
you're getting your stevia.
Well, I was listening.
All right.
He has a role with the Titans, Jim Schwartz.
There you go.
Brent Doherty, I think, had it first, so yep. Give him credit for that. But I think this is, for one thing, Vrabel offhand mentioned this in his presser. Okay, great. I mean, I read through the quote and it was like, yeah, we may be done. I'll find the quote. It was not some quote where the Titans press corps should have been all over the quote or anything like that at all. So he made a passing reference to it. in his presser. And again, he sort of followed it up. I'll find the exact quote here. Regardless, I think this is a weird situation. And, you know, think about the other side of the Shane Bowen discussion. We're always talking about what if he's not good? What if the defense is bad again? Who's pressure and all that stuff? Okay, well, what if the Titans are really good on D this year? And Shane Bowen does an amazing job, and he's a great D coordinator. How many people are going to say, Jim Schwartz came in, huh? And you got the veteran in there, and that's how it turned around. I mean, look, if you can help your organization by adding him, then help your organization by adding him.
Sure.
But it's a little bit – I mean, if I'm Shane Bowen, I don't know how I feel about this. Like, is he going to overrule me? I mean, obviously, Jim Schwartz has had a lot of success. He's been a D coordinator for three different franchises, including this one. He's been lionized.
He has.
Not an especially stirring head coaching career with the Lions, but it was the Lions. He did have a great post-game near fight with Jim Harbaugh one time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Probably the greatest moment in Lions franchise history.
But if you're
a mighty team that will not yield.
There we go. But if you're Bowen, I wonder how you really feel about this thing.
I wonder as well. And you've got Jim Schwartz in the fold now, Hazlitt there as well. I mean, there's some experience on this staff when it comes to former defensive coordinators and guys that have been around the league from a long time doing this on the defensive side of the ball for a long time. So I do wonder. Now, I also, if I'm a Titans fan, I don't really care how Shane Bowen feels about this. Just get out there and get the defense fixed, regardless of who it is. I don't care how Shane Bowen feels. You did not perform well enough last year, if I'm a Titans fan, for me to care one way or the other how you feel.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is the deal, you know, and that's fine. But when you talk about how somebody feels, and you talk about team chemistry, you know, staff chemistry is important too.
Sure.
I mean, I thought last year, and there was some talk about this when, like, Jim Hazlitt came in. It was like, oh, so is he going to sort of be linebackers, but also maybe be a sort of coordinator? And I guess they could sit here and say, well, we're all coordinators. We're all in the defensive staff meetings.
Their job is to coordinate.
Yeah, but that was not the case with him. So, I mean, it may just be if you're Schwartz, you come in here and you're just cool, kind of sitting back and just throwing in your two cents here and there. I don't know. I mean, this happens more and more in pro and college coaching that you sort of have these little advisor consultant roles, Butch Jones, or in the case of Butch Jones, like Gopher, you know, and smoke a cigar whenever you beat Tennessee every year.
Yes.
But Jim Schwartz just doesn't strike me as a guy who, you know, is happy just being in the background. I could be wrong about that.
He's only 54 as well. Like, it feels like Jim Schwartz has been around for a long time, because he has been around for a long time, but he is only 54. So I guess when I think about that and think about, you know, the conversation a couple of months ago around him where I'm going to step away from the game for a little while and just kind of see what happens, I guess we probably should have never bought that at the time. 54 years old, still relatively young in the NFL.
Yeah, trying to find I mean, it's not a bad – obviously, he knows, you know, he knows Nashville. He knows, I guess, some of the organization, although I think it's pretty much, you know, he knows, like, Jim Wyatt and Teresa Walker and
– John Glennon.
And Kaharski. Yeah. But it's not a bad – like, if you can be part of a swift turnaround with a team that could win a lot next season, you know, that could – be a little bit of a vault for you, I suppose. Here's the quote from Vrabel. There may be some more additions to our staff as we work through the offseason, but our staff is pretty much in place, and I'm excited about it. We were all supposed to – that was supposed to be the big headline.
Some breakthrough. That was what you're supposed to take away from the press conference the other day?
So, in which he listed the entire staff.
He did.
That's right. He did. He didn't list Jim Schwartz.
He did not. Did not talk about Jim Schwartz.
Apparently, we're supposed to be, you know, this is Blue's Clues now. This is Scooby-Doo. We're supposed to, you know. But there's a lot of blame in the media after the Vrabel. Apparently, it was our fault that the way we took the Vrabel presser. I mean, actually, Stillman apologized for not asking about Wesley Woodyard. I guess that would have been okay to ask. I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think
there'll be another press conference.
Yeah, Can't wait. I think the next one would be, well,
maybe after the draft.
Yeah, I would think so. Like draft day pressers. Sure. I wouldn't think there'd be any more from him before then.
I wouldn't think so either, but maybe after the draft. Here we are tomorrow, 3 weeks away from the NFL draft, so maybe another opportunity to talk to Mike Vrabel at that time. David Poyle, I don't know where I got that from. We did talk about him earlier in the show as well.
A Vrabel-Poyle presser would be fun.
That would be. That'd be fascinating. Speaking of Vrabel, we had David Beauclair on yesterday from SI.com talking about the defensive side of the ball and whether or not there's pressure on Vrabel moving forward. We'll discuss his reaction to that when we come back. It was very interesting. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Make sure you're tuning in later on in the show as we reveal a keyword for you to text into the game line for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Homegate Giveaway. A Dos Equis prize pack, including a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. We'll have that opportunity coming up for you later in the show. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning and streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch, talking Titans. And Joe, we had our friend David Beauclair on the show yesterday from SI.com breaking down the defensive side of the ball and the pressure that's heading into this season on that side. Now, I think that there's a lot of pressure on Vrabel because of Shane Bowen and because of the way he's handled some of these things on the defensive side of the ball. But Beauclair did not necessarily agree with that assessment. Here's what David Beauclair from SI.com had to say yesterday here on the show.
What we heard all through the season last year was, you know, Shane is the guy who's in charge when Vrabel's not in the room. So regardless of what's been said in the last couple months, Mike Vrabel was very much involved in the coordination of the defense last year. I believe that. But we get to the end of the season and things were terrible. And, you know, the message suddenly becomes, I don't know how this became such a big deal. Shane was the defensive coordinator, which basically means Mike Vrabel's throwing it at the feet of Shane Bowen. And I think in giving him the title, part of what is going on this year is it's, okay, if there was any sort of confusion, we're going to eliminate that confusion. And now, Shane Bowen, it's your job. It's completely your responsibility. And you better, if you don't deliver this, better results this year, then, we're going to throw you in the trash like a 2-year-old peppermint stick that comes, shows up in your Christmas decorations or something. And, So I think Shane Bowen's the guy who's completely under the gun.
So that was David Beauclair yesterday here on the show discussing the pressure heading into this season for Shane Bowen. Joe, what did you think of those comments by Beauclair yesterday? And do you agree that with the way things have shaken out here with the discussion at the end of the season where Vrabel basically said, yeah, Shane Bowen was coordinating the defense all year, just didn't have the title, to now officially having the title, do you think that puts all the pressure squarely on Bowen at this point?
Well, now it's on Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, it is.
It's his defense that he's advising from afar. But no, in seriousness, see, I think with Vrabel, like if let's say the Titans have the exact same kind of year, so they win the division, they go 11-6 or 12-5. Can you sense my sarcasm?
Yes.
But let's say they win the division, they have a good year, but they're terrible on defense. Well, then I think Bowen is isolated as a problem, and Vrabel is still okay because the overall team success is fine.
Sure.
So I think that like there's in that way there's more on Bowen if it's like last year. But I think there's a lot on Vrabel with both of these coordinator hires. I mean, we never talk about Todd Downing, but it's a guy who didn't have a good 1 year as an OC, and so has something to prove in that way, and is just having a brutal OC to follow in Arthur Smith.
Yeah,
just as Shane Bowen or whoever was going to be the DC last year, everybody knew it was going to be tough to follow up Dean Pease. And as soon as Dean Pease actually retired, everybody, it was obvious, like, okay, you can't expect the you can't expect that kind of magic on Sundays like you had with him. With was it Beauclair who said that? The best he's
best
seen?
He's ever seen. Yeah,
I mean, it was remarkable at times how he would time things up and seem to have this sixth sense at times of what the offense was going to do. So you knew it was going to go down. You said no, it was going to go down. You know, last offseason, a lot of it was like, okay, well, now that's why you got to get these difference makers on the edge so you don't have to scheme up everything, and then we know how that went. So I think there's more pressure on the head coach. I mean, if Shane Bowen fails and it's like, okay, well, he wasn't ready or whatever, it was a weird thing the way they did it. They didn't give him the title. Then they did give him the title. And they brought in Jim Schwartz. There's a lot of like excuses that can be made for Shane Bowen if it doesn't go well. So I guess in the final analysis, if there's always more. But at what place is there more pressure on a coordinator than a head coach? It happens sometimes.
Well, I guess the way I view this in terms of this conversation, like, I think Shane Bowen is way more likely to lose his job after this season than Vrabel would be. Like, I don't really see a scenario. I mean, you've just gone to the AFC title game. You've just won the division for the first time since 2008. I don't really see a scenario this year where Vrabel is fired. Like, when we talk pressure, the pressure that we're talking about to me does not mean that Vrabel is in danger of losing his job this year. I don't know that scenario exists based on his relationship with Amy Adams Strunk and the success that they've had under his tenure. Like, I'm not sure there's a scenario that's realistic where he loses his job.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know that there's a – is Shane Bowen – could he be fired? Yeah, I suppose it's possible.
If they are awful on defense again this year, and that's 2 years in a row where he's been quote-unquote in charge and their defense is that bad, yeah, I think he could be fired.
Yeah, but I still – I believe, regardless of – obviously, he wasn't Dean Pease. Whatever he did wasn't good enough last year. I still believe that was a personnel issue more than a coaching issue. Not that coaching was not an issue, but I think that the John Robinson aspect of this was worse last year.
But if it doesn't get any better, he's not going to get that benefit of the doubt any longer.
But if it does – let's say it doesn't get better because Bud Dupree actually isn't ready from the ACL, and then when he comes back, he isn't what you paid for – and, you know, go down the list. Individual players are subpar. You know, is it? I mean, you could still say, okay, well,
why are they subpar?
Good coaches get more out of them. That's fine. See, I think that's where Beauclair's coming from, though, is that there's still the perception, and it's probably reality, that like this is still it's Vrabel's defense.
Yeah.
Right. So while I agree that. Like Bowen certainly would be quicker to be like on the actual hot seat than Vrabel would be. That's still how do you, if you're Vrabel, how could you go through all the things that you've done here with not naming him, what you said, what you didn't say, now naming him, bringing in Schwartz, all these things, and then wash your hands of it? You know,
I don't know. Maybe he really likes Jim Schwartz at the end of the year and just says, you know what, you can be the defensive coordinator.
Well, and that's – I mean, again, this is why –
Doesn't Jim Schwartz run a 4-3? Isn't that what he's done? I'd have to double-check that. I'm pretty sure he's a 4-3 guy.
That is what he has done, yes.
Yeah. Hey, maybe they're changing it up.
There's still, you know, there's still plenty of things you can talk about as a consultant.
That's true.
You know, individual play or whatever. I don't know – like, I don't know if Schwartz has been totally his entire career that, but – the Lions definitely ran a 4-3 when he was their head coach. I think, yeah, the Eagles.
Yeah.
So,
interesting.
Maybe this means that Vrabel is opening himself up to a new system, and he's not married to his own system anymore.
Maybe so. Kinston on Periscope says, Bowen for sure under more pressure, but boy, are they helping make sure he has success. Talking about, I guess, the personnel moves that have taken place and now some coaching moves as well. I mean, a lot of this is going to come down to – all right, what sort of Bud Dupree are you getting? If you're getting a monster level of Bud Dupree, your defense is probably going to be pretty good, or at least better. If you don't get a monster level Bud Dupree and he is a disappointment or he's not ready to come back from injury as quickly as you would hope, then you could be in a rough spot defensively, especially depending on what happens at corner as well.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Corner is right now still very much, I'm sorry, but Kevin Johnson, I just haven't seen anything that should make you feel great about him being a starting quarterback for you. And Janoris Jenkins is a nice player who's on the wrong side of 30. They've got a lot of work to do in terms of helping the personnel. But I agree with Kenston. Like, obviously, they're addressing it. And I think Bowen has to go into this thinking, hey, I got a great resource here in Jim Schwartz.
Sure.
You know? I mean, it's one of those things where internally, as long as it's good conversations and there's a good collaboration, it's you're helping him. Externally, what immediately in these discussions, it's like, oh, okay, so is he coming in to like to take over in a year? Or, I mean, Jim Schwartz very confident in himself. Jim Schwartz's confidence in himself is comparable to Vrabel's confidence in himself. There's some serious confidence in himself. And, you know, Jim Schwartz has done a lot of good things in this league.
You think Jim Schwartz will try to fight Vrabel in training camp just to, like, set the tone? He was going after Harbaugh, maybe goes after Vrabel too?
Oh, he'd get stuffed in a trash
can. I know that. I'm just saying.
Oh, man.
I mean, we were that close to seeing it from Schwartz and Harbaugh. Still one of the great moments.
I wonder who would have won that actual fight.
Probably Schwartz.
Yeah. Harbaugh's. Yeah, but Harbaugh's a little.
And Harbaugh's also got a certain level of crazy that I think you need in a fight, too.
I could see Harbaugh That's really true. Fighting dirty, you know?
Yeah. Kinston says Kevin Johnson is good, Joe. Often injured, but solid nickel guy.
Okay.
I don't think he's very good.
Hey, we'll see. Maybe. I think if you're the Titans and he can be your four, you feel a lot better about things.
Just as long as he lasts longer on the roster than Jonathan Joseph did last year.
Well,
shouldn't be a high bar.
Yeah, I mean,
a very low bar.
He at least is a lot younger, and
he's 28.
I don't think he would be like exposed as unable to run like Jonathan Joseph was. But he's been a big disappointment. Injuries part of that, sure. So maybe this is where he comes and has a career renaissance. There's a lot of things. Bud Dupree being healthy and great. Autry. Yeah. Simmons taking a big step, you know, Evans and Byer bouncing, all these things. You know, there's a lot of things that if they worked out, Shane Bowen could be like, you know, DC of the year next year. Except then we'll be like, but Jim Schwartz, how much impact did Jim Schwartz have?
That's right.
Was Jim Schwartz really pulling the strings?
How much of a genius Vrabel is too. Yeah. Could be talking about that.
Well, there's always that.
Yes.
So maybe it's not the pressure, it's how much opportunity is there, see?
Yeah.
We're not positive enough. We should be more positive, and we should be taking these little clues that Vrabel gives us, apparently, and, you know, digging deep in his words rather than just expecting him to come out and say something.
Yeah. Apparently that's where we've gotten to in the press conferences now. When we come back, we will switch gears and get into a disturbing story coming out of the Tennessee Volunteer Football Program in Knoxville. We'll do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This hour of Robbie and Rex Road is brought to you by Trane. Get a great deal this spring on a new Trane heating and cooling system. At Trane, they test so it runs. Visit traneinfo.com to find your local dealer and learn more. It's hard to stop a train.
Fast-Paced Health is offering Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccines at its pop-up vaccine center at 6550 Carruthers Parkway, Suite 140, Franklin, Tennessee, from 9 to 5 today and tomorrow. The vaccines will be offered by appointment only and while supplies last. Please visit fastpacehealth.com/COVID-vaccine to see available appointment times and to register online. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ryan Porth are with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, a disturbing story that's been developing the last few days coming out of Knoxville with the Tennessee football program. Linebacker Aaron Beasley officially receiving a citation yesterday for animal cruelty, which is a misdemeanor in Knoxville. And basically, Kaylee Scarborough, a student, said she arrived at her apartment on Thursday and discovered that her six-month-old kitten was hiding underneath the dresser, and the kitten squealed and clawed at her when she tried to pull him out. And apparently her roommates were at home when Beasley was there, and the cat apparently got into some wings that were there, some food, and then Beasley abused, allegedly, the cat after that. So that has led to Beasley being suspended from the team, and now, as I said yesterday, officially receiving a citation from the Knoxville police for animal cruelty. As regards to this six-month-old cat, this is a really disturbing story. And if the police get to the bottom of this and they find out that this is true and that Beasley has done this, this guy needs to be expelled. He needs to be gone. There needs to be a zero tolerance policy for this.
It's a terrible story. You know, there's like, and within the report, I think blunt force trauma. Is that a term that was? So it was.
The cat had to be in the ICU until Saturday.
Yeah. You know, I'm a big second chances person. Big believer in that. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to expelled, kicked out of the program, but I would go to.
There's no place for this. Get him out.
There's no place for this. I agree. This is, you know, this. There's got to be accountability here. This is something certainly that, you know, like this is one of those stories where you want to be careful, like on Twitter, because you know there's someone who's going to like make fun of this and or even just like make light of it or trivialize it. Yep. And that's awful. I don't know, man. I don't know that I'd kick him out of the program altogether, kick him out of school. I think I want him to be accountable in terms of the legal system. And I think something like suspended for this year is fair. You know how a lot of these things go is the quality of player often helps dictate, you know, what happens here. And I don't really know.
He's got 9 career tackles.
Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, he would be someone who you could make an example of. And if it was someone else, you might not make the example of that person, but just taking that out, not being a coach and just looking at it, I think I would go with, you know, suspended for a year. Again, we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't think we're talking about jail time probably, right?
Probably not.
Probably probation. But, man, this is one of those also situations where accountability – should be a deterrent to stuff like this too. I mean, it's got to be made clear. Like, this is just, it's disgusting. I don't know about completely just sending someone away for good.
I do. I'm very comfortable sending him away from good. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is something that you should not tolerate. To me, if I'm Josh Heupel and this is true and they get to the bottom and this is, it's not even really a point of conversation. You bring him in. See you, buddy. Nice having you here. Go find somewhere else to play. I mean, there's no excuse for this. I don't care if he was a starter. I mean, this is ridiculous. There's no excuse for this. There's no point of toleration for this from my standpoint. I expel him. I kick him off the team. And don't even think twice about it. Hope the door hits him on the way out. That's the way I approach this. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I respect that. I just, you know, it's it's tough. It's a very different kind of. You just don't see stuff like this very often.
No, you don't.
I don't think I would do that, but I get it. I get it. You know, it's still a young person who, you know, it's a young person and it's an adult. You know, it's just like it's tough with college athletes because they're old enough to go to war. They're old enough to vote. They're still talked about like they're kids, and they are kids. Again, I'll go back to being that age. I was absolutely the definition of a kid.
Sure.
It's not an adult. That said, never did anything like this. And this is a really disturbing thing. You know, I guess I want to know more about how it all came down and everything. But, I mean, it seems pretty cut and dry that this happened. It's a tough one for Josh Heupel. It'll be an interesting look at how he runs his program.
Well, it is, and there's, I mean, this is obviously the most extreme example of what's happened so far. But I mean, you've got, you know, Caden Salter and the 3 other players as well with the suspension that they're on now. The charges against Salter were dropped and have been dismissed. So I would expect at some point, relatively soon, he'll probably be back in the mix in terms of spring football. But there are some off-the-field issues going on right now. Now, some of these happened before he was even there and before he even got there. So I'm not saying that this is, you know, some big indictment on Josh Heupel or anything like that. But certainly not what you want to be dealing with if you're Josh Heupel coming into a new job, trying to get things ready to go with a team that, is going to be shorthanded, at least on the defensive side of the ball anyway. Like, that's the thing. Like, you know, Aaron Beasley is not really that good of a player, but because of where they are at linebacker, he's probably had a chance to play this year.
Right, number two.
Yeah.
Up chart right now.
Exactly. So, I mean, this is not what you want to be dealing with if you're Josh Heupel coming into a new job with some off-the-field issues like this so quickly.
So if Aaron Beasley, you know, full apology, goes through, you know, whatever the sort of counseling and programs that you would need to go through with this, you know, again, whatever the sentence is, and he hat in hand apologizes, promises to, you know, get involved in animal shelters, whatever the case may be, you don't care? He's
don't
out?
Don't care.
Yeah?
I mean, there's some – this is not like smoking weed or anything. Like, sure, there are some things that are – you just don't come back from. I mean, I'm not saying he needs to go to jail. I'm not saying anything like that. But it's a privilege to play college football. You do things like this, you don't deserve that privilege. Like, I mean, there's some things you just don't come back from. And this is one of those things to me. Now, I'm not sure that that's how Tennessee is going to handle it. I'm not sure if everybody out there would agree with that. But to me, there are certain things that you do that sometimes you're warranted a second chance, sometimes you're not. To me, this is pretty cut and dry. Like, you move on from this. This is disturbing. Like, this is...
Oh, it's bad. I'm not saying it's not.
I know you're not saying that it's not. This is just a... This is something that's like... You worry about other behavior. If you're hitting animals like this, what are you doing? What else could that lead to? Like, that is...
Well,
this is serious stuff.
Well, I agree. Well, but see, but that's kind of my that's kind of my thought on not just saying get out of here. So go do it somewhere else, you know. Now, Heupel, and I would think more strongly that way if Heupel recruited him to his program, because
sure,
when you recruit someone, you go to parents and say, "Yes, I'm taking over, you know, I'm watching your son or daughter and I'm, you know, an extension of you and going to help your son or daughter become an adult," right? So if that's the case and then something like this happens, you say, "Hey, get out of here, you're done." That to me is you're not following through on that promise. And if someone does something like this, maybe that does speak to like some serious issues that have to be addressed by someone, by a professional. It is a privilege being college football. And one of the privileges is you have access to, you know, the kind of medical treatment, things like that most people don't have. Maybe that could help someone like turn something around if this speaks to a larger issue. I have no idea if it does or not, but that would to me be a reason to not just say okay, bye.
Yeah, that's not Josh Heupel's job is to keep a guy on a football team just to try to get him some help. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and that is a part of, you know, you can help a guy, and I do think there are resources that are available that can help, but it's not Josh Heupel's job to try to completely turn around somebody's personal character in order to try to keep them on a football team. It's just not with a guy like this. I mean, it's just not. I think if this is what I think it is, and that's what the police department finds in their investigation, to me, it's not even a conversation. You move on, you wipe your hands of it, and that's that. And I know I get most people, maybe not most people, there are people that don't agree with that, but I have no time, no tolerance, no patience for this.
So if you were a coach somewhere else and Beasley could be a huge pickup for you, would you just rule him out?
I would. Now, I realize that this is college football, and if you feel like somebody can play, people will take him. And I recognize that going into it. I would.
So you think his career should be over?
I do.
Yeah, that's rough, man. I mean, it's hard because there's no excuse for this. I hope he gets, you know, again, get all everything out that we can find out about it, and he should be accountable. But I don't think that a life should be ruined over this either. I mean, I think, you know.
What? Why is his life being ruined?
Well.
What's being ruined about his life? He can't play college football anymore?
Well, I mean, that's also his ticket to education.
Okay. Well, maybe you ought to think about that before you start hitting a cat.
I'm not defending what he did in any way. But it's just the general outlook of, okay, what is the consequence of just bye and no one else lets you in? Hey.
Again, think about that before you hit a cap.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
It's very easy. It's very cut and dry.
It'll be interesting.
It's going to be very interesting. We'll continue to keep you updated As this comes out, as we said, a citation issued yesterday by the Knoxville police. So we'll continue to keep you updated on the Aaron Beasley situation in Knoxville. When we come back, it is time for The Choice is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road in the questions chair this week. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it's that time of the week. Time for The Choice is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. We throw out different scenarios, both in sports and in life, and then determine how we would respond to said scenarios. Now, it is time for Joe Rex Road's questions this week, which I always look forward to. Rex Road's done a great job on the questions. So, Rex Road, without further ado, I turn things over to you in today's edition of The Choice is Yours.
Well, you guys pick sports or non-sports. I will say that all my questions are sort of could. I feel like they could go in either category, but whatever. I split them up.
That's so even
sports
better.
Sports or non-sports?
Let's go non-sports.
They're all sports-ish. All right, non-sports. A lot of these are reacting to recent events.
Okay.
So if you were challenged to a big money game, you could pick the sport and build your team as you wish. You know, this is like again, elite athletes like us.
Yeah.
You know, in our realm of elite athleticism, but there's one catch. Chase McCabe must be in a key role on your team.
Man.
Which would you choose? Oh. Would you choose Chase as your cleanup hitter on your baseball team?
Okay.
Your starting center on your basketball team? Your starting center on your hockey team?
Oh.
Or your quarterback?
Oh,
you must goodness. Chase must be in one of these roles in this big money game that you are playing.
Basketball. I will take him as my center in basketball. Because I feel like you can almost treat him like West Virginia back in the day treated Kevin Pitsnoggle. You can put him in the corner. He, you know, can attempt to shoot a basketball, but you can just let the other four do the work, and he can just kind of be there. Whereas if he played hockey,
I mean, he'd hurt himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be injured immediately.
We saw what happened yesterday when he tried to swing a baseball bat.
Yes, we did.
It was pathetic.
The video. Pitsnoggle hit some shots, man.
The video is
a lot of shots.
How many shots do you think Chase is hitting?
I mean, it's 0 for a lot. However many attempts he takes.
I mean, you didn't really clarify, you know, what sort of offense you'd be running in football. So, like, if you're really good at, like, the reverse, and you just wait for him to throw the forward pass and it inevitably goes backwards, I mean, you could do some damage that way. They'd never expect it the first couple of plays.
You can build your offense however you want to build it.
Okay. I probably have to go basketball, too. I know that I'm not picking baseball. He's not hitting cleanup for me.
Well,
after watching that yesterday.
This could be prisoner of the moment because there was a video that came out within the last year or two of him skating outside of the Bridgestone Arena Plaza that was equally pathetic.
Bob on Twitter says, I'd walk away from that challenge.
Yeah, so for me, like, yeah, look, baseball and hockey, they're easy to eliminate. I will. So Brennan plays in flag football league, and they do a lot of laterals from the QB, and then you throw out of that. And I think you could do that with Chase. Hand off, slash throw
that
the quick lateral and get out of the way.
Like, if you had a great running back, all he's got to do is not trip over himself, handing the ball off.
Yeah. So I think I would do that and build my offense to hide him. Basketball is close. I mean, I feel like you could probably
building your offense to hide the quarterback.
Yeah, I know. Yes. I know. Well, that's what the Titans did in the playoffs, right? Ryan Tannehill never played any good plays.
Yes.
It was all Derrick Henry. Basketball, you would think he'd get a couple rebounds.
You would think so,
right? Maybe hit someone with his elbow and intimidate him. But
I mean, maybe he could just stand there and take a charge. I mean, there are some things that could happen in basketball that could benefit your team.
Yeah, occupying some space.
I like that. That was a good one.
I'm gonna make Chase a very, you know, maybe like a triple option kind of quarterback who just never runs with
never
the ball.
Runs ever. Okay.
Yeah.
Can he hand it off?
I don't know. I really don't.
Feels like a legitimate question after what happened yesterday.
Yeah. We love you, Chase.
All right. So sports. In honor of the trading deadline coming up, we've had these discussions, but I'm gonna put you guys on the spot. You're David Poile. You got six core players. Three must stay. Three must go, but you have to make a choice within each, okay?
Okay.
Now, you may laugh at my last choice, but Anyway, Ryan Johansson or Matt Duchene.
Okay.
Matias Ekholm or Ryan Ellis. Victor Arvidsson or Callie Yarncroke. Who are the three that you're keeping?
Oh, okay. Fourth, you want to go first?
Johansson, Ekholm, Arvidsson.
Really?
Actually, no, Yarncroke.
That was quick. I would go Johansson, I would go Ekholm, and I would go, I think I'd still go Arvidsson.
Yeah, now, you know, and I'm taking money into account here, too.
Sure.
Of course. So, and that's why, so I figured we'd all agree on Ekholm, which is interesting because it's just like you just dismiss Ryan Ellis, who's been an awfully good player.
Yes.
But
you ask me to choose.
But I think that's the easiest one. Yeah, for sure. I'm going Yarncroke as well, and I know, you know, we have some fun with, like, Callie Yarncroke and his offensive explosion this year, but I'm a little bit concerned about Arvidsson, where things are going, his health, production, and all that. And then I differ from you guys. I'm keeping Duchene.
Okay.
And, again, this is not because I don't like Ryan Johansson's shootout.
I think it is.
I don't like it.
That pushed you over the top. But that's not.
That's 100% of this.
I think Duchene so far, the production hasn't been there this year, but I actually like how he's played. We'll see what happens when he comes back. I'm just concerned about, it's close, you know, and really you'd like both of them to be here and play better. But I think I'm going to go the Duchene route there.
Okay. I like that.
All right, now, your ability to choose what you eat for dinner depends on this question, okay?
Okay.
Daily. And every day, if you fail, you eat gruel. Liquid gruel, okay?
What is gruel?
Well, it's just like slop, okay? It's like, go watch some Simpsons, you know? Like when Nelson, like, was at the... You don't remember, do you remember the Simpsons episode? Sweet, nourishing gruel. I know Vingan knows that.
I was about to say, I'm not much of a Simpsons guy, but we have a guest later that will.
Yes. All right. But anyway, this is what you must do every day. Would you rather try, and you have to choose one route or the other, to get a detailed football answer out of Mike Vrabel?
Okay.
Or try to make John Hines angry with a question?
Ooh. That's a good question. I think I would rather try to make John Hines angry. I have no confidence whatsoever that Vrabel would give you a detailed football answer. Just none. I mean, it's a lost cause at that point. I could probably come up with a question that would make Hines angry. It's close, though. I don't know. He's pretty even keeled. He don't really get angry about anything.
Even like, with some tough questions.
I mean, if this was Laviolette, this would be a no-brainer.
This is true.
Oh, well, right.
Yes.
It'd be the opposite question.
Yeah.
See if he can not be jerky.
See if he can smile or laugh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ryan, I would welcome the challenge of trying to get a detailed football answer out of Mike Vrabel. Yes, I would.
I'm going that way, too. Now, there's a little bit of wiggle room in what is a detailed football answer, but I mean, there are times when Vrabel will talk. The detailed
the
football answer?
Count? Well, he lists the depth chart in order of players?
I mean, that's pretty detailed.
Yeah, it is.
The detailed football answer of Vrabel is, well, during the season you would eat well because you just ask about the opponent. Yeah. He'll tell you all about their post safety and this and that. Like, so that is the one route you could go. And I think you would have some success sometimes. It wouldn't be easy. Making John Hines angry. I mean,
he's a nice guy.
I mean, at some point we may see it. But, yeah, very, very level. So, all right, last one, sports. Your entire life savings. I'm putting a lot of stakes here for you guys.
There's a lot on the line here.
Your entire life savings hinges on this question.
Okay.
Who will have a better NFL career, Mac Jones or Justin Fields?
I am going to say Mac Jones, and here's why. I like his destination. I like his landing spot. If he ends up in San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan, I think that's going to work out very well for him. So I will say Mac Jones because I have confidence in Kyle Shanahan.
What if you like Justin Fields' landing spot better? Like, what if a team
where
turns up
it?
To
where is that?
Well,
we don't know.
It's the mystery box.
There would have to be. You just have to go with a handful of teams.
You got available information right now. I mean, are we sure he's going to San Fran? That's the
pretty sure.
That's the yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So who's going to have the better NFL career between the two?
Yeah.
Mac Jones.
Wow. No love for Justin Fields.
Well, I got love for Justin Fields. I think it's easy. I'm going Ohio Justin
State Homer. You're a Mac Jones hater.
You are an Ohio State Homer.
That's right. I forgot. That's right. O H I O. I think Mac Jones will have a good NFL career. He very much reminds me of Kirk Cousins.
Your boy.
Yeah, a good player. Yeah. You know, guy who's had several, 4,000 plus seasons, has won a playoff game with a huge drive. I mean, he's had a good career. He's limited by circumstance to a point, and Mac Jones will be as well. I think this is one of the things where in the 3 years into this, it'll be like Mac Jones will be way ahead.
Agreed.
I think it's like tortoise and hare, and the ceiling for Justin Fields is way higher. It's a gamble because you brought up the issue. Where's he going to go? What's the situation? But, man, Justin Fields is just, to me, getting started, and he has a majorly high ceiling. I think somebody in this draft is going to hit the jackpot with him.
It does feel like he is just more and more getting left out in the conversation. Like heading into the college football season, it was, all right, we know the first two picks of the draft. It's Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. And, look, that happens a lot. That happens every year, and something ends up changing that most of the time.
And then everybody's like, oh, Mitch Trubisky. Oh, my goodness.
But I do see, like there was a mock draft I saw the other day that had Justin Fields at, like, 12. And I was like, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think he's going to drop that far.
It's crazy, but we'll see.
We will see. That is today's edition of The Choice Is Yours. Another phenomenal job done by Joe Rexroth. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Sorry, I'm
just
for the
raining
camera.
In the applause. When we come back, we'll look ahead at the NFL draft. Almost 3 weeks away from the draft here in Nashville. Who do we think the Titans are going to go after? We'll talk about it next. This is Robbie and Rexroth, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.